But Daniel chapter number 6, I had another message for tonight, and the Lord is just will not let this go, and I know it's what we're supposed to look at tonight. So in Daniel chapter number 6, it's actually a message pretty much what the Lord laid on my heart for the nursing home this past week. On Tuesday night, and if you haven't been down, what I've been trying to do, as the Lord allows and He leads, and thus far in every service He has, going through the Bible and just looking at elderly folks, elderly characters in the Bible, and what they did for God in their, what we call their latter years. And my purpose in doing it is, obviously, number one, the gospel is all throughout the scriptures, to be able to preach the gospel there. But also to encourage them, because it's easier the older you get to kind of feel useless, especially when you're sitting down there. And I don't like talking about it, but that's the reality of what they shared with me. It's depressing. It's, you know, what can I do? And so I've tried to look at these scriptures. And everything that we've looked at with, that these folks have done in the Bible in their latter years, all of them can do that have heard me down in these services. And it's been remarkable. You take someone like Jacob, who we looked at, you know, Hebrews chapter 11 kind of gives us the you know, that pinnacle of their faith moment. You know what I mean? In Hebrews chapter number 11. Yes. All right. Good. All right. You know, that's what they did. All right. With Moses, he chose to say no to the world and reject all of the world's treasures and yes to the Lord. All right. It's kind of what they did. And you take someone like Jacob and all of Jacob's life and what he did and what Hebrews 11 says remarkable about this man is that when he was, you know, in his hundreds, he leaned upon his staff and he blessed his children. You know, and we preached about that and what he did. We started, of course, with Adam and what Adam did. Adam lived to be 60 years old. You know, I always make a joke of it. It's like, anybody close to that in here? And they're all like, no, all right, no one there, all right? And then we looked at Enoch. We've looked at Methuselah. We looked at all these different characters. The Bible on Christmas time, we looked at Anna and Simeon. Then we jumped back to where we've been with Jacob, and we talked about Abraham. And we talked about all these people. And then the Lord, those were a little bit easier. When they're living to be like, you know, 900, 800, 700, 500, you know, they jump out at you. But then we're kind of out of that time period and we're going on. And I was asking the Lord, all right, what direction to go in. And the Lord led me here in the book of Daniel. Look at it real quick in chapter number 1. Then we'll go to chapter 6. All right. In Daniel chapter 1. Just wanted to see this and then we'll read our text for tonight. In Daniel chapter number 1. Of course, we know the story. In verse number 1, you see Nebuchadnezzar. He came from Babylon to Jerusalem. He conquered Jerusalem, destroyed Jerusalem, and took everyone captive. And then in verse number 4, it says that he took certain of them back with him. Verse number 4 says, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding, science and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king, of course, appointed them. And some of them, in verse number 6, were of the children of Judah. Daniel is listed first. So Daniel, according to the scriptures, when Nebuchadnezzar came, he was a child. Now, exactly how old that is, I have no idea. I have about as much clue as you do. If you study tradition with the Hebrews, you would be pretty much have to say he was under the age of 12. All right, so he's somewhere under the age of 12 because the Bible refers to him as a child. He's not a young man. He's not a youth. He is a child, you know, a children, the Bible says. And so here he is. He goes and he goes. He's taken to Babylon. Now if you go to chapter number 6 and let's just read our text. And one more time, if you're able, let's stand as we read this very quickly. In Daniel chapter number 6. And look what it says here in verse number 1. It says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Skip down to verse number 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. And we know what happened. They turned him in, right? And he gets before the king, and according to the law that was signed, he had to be thrown into the lion's den. You can see in verse number 16, then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And of course they brought a stone and they placed it over the lion's den. The king didn't sleep well that night. He came back very early in the morning in verse number 19 and verse number 20. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, oh, Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? That's my lamentable voice. All right. Did it happen? Verse 21. Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. You can only imagine the king's relief. Wow. All right. And my God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouths, and they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast image into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them. I love that verse. Had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came to the bottom of the den. Nice. Then King Darius wrote unto all the people, nations, and languages that dwelt in the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and steadfast forever. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Thank you. Be seated. I know most of that story we already know. But now, this is where, in young people, where it's very important to study. And I know we just got out of school today, but take your studies seriously. All right. I always have loved history. I love studying history. I love getting into history and seeing what history teaches. And truly, history is, you understand this, his story. That's what history is. I taught that one time when we were down in Mexico. I taught that my whole lesson was based upon that. And afterwards, the translator said it really made no sense, none of it to them. All right. Because it doesn't translate the same way. So I always think of that when I say that. But anyways, history truly is his story. And so I put it all together just in studying this week. And again, Jerusalem fell. Nebuchadnezzar came in, this is a historical fact, in 588 B.C. or 8 B.C. He came in and ran it over, and Jerusalem fell. When Jerusalem fell, between 587 and 588, when it fell, of course, Daniel was taken as a child over to Babylon. Darius, in chapter number 6, Darius becomes the king, and at this time, we're talking 500 B.C., which I never really thought about until this week in studying for the nursing home. That means that Daniel, at the time of the lion's den, was somewhere in his mid-90s. And men didn't live to be exceedingly old in these by these times. So at the age of his mid-90s, Daniel is going into the lion's den. You know, a lot of times we, because I guess Hollywood or the picture books or in Sunday school, we color all the pictures with the young man and the big beard and the tunic on, and he's being thrown into the lion's den, and he's sitting there braced with the lions, and his muscles are bulging and all this stuff. That's the way our Sunday school lessons always show all the pictures. But the reality is, he was 95 years old. when all this happened. Somewhere, give me a take a year, right? But he's right around there. Either way, I think we can all agree, he was what we call his elderly years. Now, when I asked the question, anybody around 95, this elderly lady in the nursing home said, me. She was right there, right? She was there. Here, and I cannot imagine, I can't fathom, you know, that lady who raised her hand. I can't imagine taking a man that age and then just chucking him into the lion's den. You have to have pretty much no heart. I can't imagine that. But that's where Daniel was. And so I brought this lesson to the nursing home, and all week, as I got another message ready for tonight, and God just kept saying, I think you need to do this. You really need to do this. And I kept saying, well, that's not the message I had. But God said, it's the one I want. So I'm just going to share it with you tonight, and I hope it's a blessing. But Daniel, what can we learn from Daniel's life? Here in his 90s, at very latest, late 80s, all right? And history just, that's the time of Darius and Nebuchadnezzar. So what did this man do? And the reason I preach it tonight, number one, is because God wants it. But number two, because if Daniel can do this at 95, what is our excuse? If Daniel can do this in the face, you know, we think, you know, well, someone may laugh at us if we do it. He was thrown into a lion's den. You understand what the penalty was for his stand? If he can do this, well, how sad are we sometimes? Look at this with me real quick. Just a couple things about Daniel at this time in his life. Number one, he was a principled man. He was a principled man. Look at back in verse number two. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first. Now, Daniel, obviously, he was a principled man. Here's a man in his late 80s, early 90s, who was given basically, number two, in all the world at that time, the greatest empire, one of the most powerful empires that has ever reigned. Here is Daniel, at somewhere around 90 years old, who is second in command. Everyone under the king answered to Daniel. He was the one that they went to. Now, you don't get that position by not being someone who the king felt like, I can trust this man. This man is an honest man. This man is a responsible man. This man is a respectable man. This man is a man that people can look up to. This is a man that I can trust with my most precious possessions. This is a man who is responsible and respectable. Folks, a world that is out there ought to see every born-again believer. And they ought to be able to see in us someone who is responsible and respectable. They ought to be able to look at us and know that we, because we are Christians, because we love the Lord, that our life should be one that is lived above reproach. Our life is one that, listen, if we say and give our word, that we mean it and it's going to happen. Our life should be one that people can respect. I'm not talking about pride. I'm not talking about thinking that you're better than someone. If you ever see that in the book of Daniel, you're reading a different book than I am. Daniel never once showed pride in himself. And in fact, he's one of the most humble men that's there. Even after God showed himself mighty, he was respectable to that king. Even after the king threw him in the lion's den, he said, oh, king, live forever. He was respectable to that man. He was a man of principle. And folks, every one of us as Christians tonight, we ought to be, number one, responsible, and we ought to be respectable. A lost world ought to be able to know that we're honest. You used to not even have to preach that in churches, but you do today. A lost world ought to know that we are men of our words. When we say we're going to do something, we'll do it. When we give our word, consider it done. You know, we ought to be that type of person. I talked to Brother Allen this week, and today, this morning, I was talking to him down in Florida. I said, what are you doing today? And he said, well, it's pouring the rain, so I have to sit inside and wait for contractors and then make sure they do their job. like, must be rough, brother. Anyway, he's sitting on an island in this house, right? And his biggest job last week was he had to chase down a lizard this big. And he sent me a picture, and it was huge. But that was his, you know, he's just, but the main thing is he's the caretaker for this home, and that's down there, and then that's what they do every day. But the reason he got this position is because a very obviously wealthy person who Jeff had worked for came to Jeff and said, I can trust you. And his words were this, I can give you my wallet and all of my money and know that when I see you in 3 months, it will all be just as I left it. Now, that testimony, I'm not lifting Jeff Allen up other than saying this, that should not be something odd for us as believers. That should be able to be said about every one of us. That whatever job we're asked to do, we can be trusted. We're people of character. We'll be responsible. And we'll do it respectably. Our job will not be something that we do half-heartedly. That we'll do it right. That we'll take it seriously. I've said this before, and I say it again. At your workplace, you ought to be the boss's number one employee. Your boss ought to be able to look at you and say, I know they'll do the job. Say, why? Because that's a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this man, 90 years old, we'll say, is a principled man, responsible and respectable. Number two, he was a protector. It says there in verse number two, it says that the princes might give accounts to them and the king should have no damage. You know what that means? His job was he protected the king. He did not protect him with a sword and a shield. That wasn't his job. If you wanted a bodyguard, you would probably pick someone that wasn't 95 years old. All right, that wasn't his job. That's not what the word damage means there. It means this, that when people are talking bad conspiring against the king or belittling the king or trying to blaspheme his name, Daniel shut their mouths. When people were trying to bring accusations against the king, he was the one that shielded the king from it. So, well, what's that for us? We serve a king far greater than Darius. Amen? We serve the King of Kings. Amen? And our life ought to be one that we are living our life in honor of the king. When this world blasphemes our king, we ought to ask the world to please shut their mouth. When this world belittles our king and belittles his word and attacks his word and accuses our king, we ought to be the first people to stand up and take a stand for our Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to take a stand for our God. That's not easy in the world that we live in. But folks, we are living in this world, and if God is our king, then we ought to be the first ones to step up so that he received no damage. I got news for you. Those words weren't going to stop Darius. If you ever study history, Darius was a very powerful king. One of the most respected emperors that has ever been on this earth. I mean, just because someone said, well, I think he's a terrible king. All Darius had to do was snap his finger and that guy was thrown in the lion's den or something worse. Darius wasn't afraid of them. But the point was this, he had men like Daniel so that Darius had people who could stand up for him so that it wasn't that the king was going to be attacked, but those people would start talking to other people. And pretty soon there's a mob of people and then a nation of people. And it was Daniel's job to stop it. Folks, this nation is not what it once was. And one of the reasons why it's not what it once was is because we as Christians quit shielding the king from damage. We started shutting our mouth and letting them run theirs. We quit taking a stand, and a lot of it, to be quite honest, because we don't know how to defend ourselves. We don't know how to defend it. And so we just kind of keep our mouth shut because we're not sure what to say. Say, well, I really don't know what to say. Then study the book. Learn the Word of God. But he was a protector. Verse number three, he was preferred. It says that then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes. Why was he preferred? And by the way, everything that I preached here tonight, is nothing that those folks in that nursing home cannot do. Every one of them can do these things. Every one of them can be a responsible, respectable person. Every one of them can be a protector of the King's name. How much more should we? Amen? This should be our life. And the result of it was he was preferred. You know why he was preferred? I wrote down three things. I didn't preach these at the nursing home. But here's three reasons why he was preferred. Number one, because he had an excellent spirit. You see that in verse number three. And I'll just say this real quick because we've preached on it a lot lately. Every child of God ought to have an excellent spirit. That excellent spirit is there because and when we are yielded to the Spirit. As we're yielded to the Spirit of God, we will have an excellent spirit about us. The more that we praise God, the more we realize God loves us, the more we realize we can trust God, the more we realize we can trust God, the more peace that we have, the more peace that we have, boy, we just go through life praising Him and everything's going to be okay. Even though I may face things, someday it will be worth it all when I see Jesus. And everything's going to be fine and we can have an excellent spirit in this life. Christians shouldn't be tripping over the bottom lip. Christians shouldn't be going around pouting and complaining all the time. We have reason to rejoice. If I can look at a group of people who do not have the health to live in their homes anymore, they have to be taken care of. And if I can look at them in the eyeballs and say these words to them, how much more can I say it to you? We have no reason to complain. God is good to us. God is good to us. He has blessed us in so many ways. We ought to have an excellent spirit about us. A joy about us. An excitement about us. He had an excellent spirit. Verse number four, he had an excellent stand. I mean, look what it says. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel. But guess what? They couldn't find anything. The life that he was living, they could find nothing wrong. Can you imagine if there was someone who was sent to follow me and you? And their job is to follow us and to watch us and to try to find something to be able to say, ah, look, they say that they're this, but look what I saw them do. Every one of us lower our head on this. Well, they did it to Daniel. They found nothing. Isn't that amazing? Nothing. They finally got together and said, the only thing we can possibly get this man on is this. The only thing he loves more than the king is his God. So they attacked him there. And they were right. He did love his God more than anything else. He had an excellent stand. Oh, should we? And then the third thing that why I believe he was preferred is this. He had an excellent supplication. He prayed. Verse number 10, his life was one, his supplication was one of prayer and praise. We've talked about this a lot in our church, so we'll not have to stay here long. But in verse 10, it says, when the thing was signed, he went to his house, and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks. He prayed and he praised God. Yeah. Folks, you know what? Well, and by the way, these things in Daniel's life did not make the world say, ew, Christian. It made the world say, that's someone I can trust. That's someone right there. You say, well, there were peers who didn't like him. Well, you're going to find the same thing today. But he was preferred. There used to be a time, and in some places it still is, that when you came and you said you were a Christian, they knew that meant something. Even if they didn't like your faith, they knew that you'd be faithful. They knew you'd do your job. They knew you'd have some character. And be preferred. Daniel was preferred. And then number four, he was number one, principled. Number two, a protector. Number three, preferred. Here he is. Number four, he was protected. Now he protected the king, but now look how the King of Kings protected him. We've already read it, but in verses 16 to 22, Daniel's thrown into a lion's den. What a king thought. What have I done? All night he stays up. He paces the floors. He fasts. He doesn't eat. He's too sick. First thing in the morning, he runs down there and says, move the stone. And he calls in. He says, Daniel, is your God who you serve? Did he deliver you? I would say Daniel responded immediately. We like, it makes it more fun to put a dramatic pause there. Daniel, did God deliver you? Oh, King, live forever. I doubt it happened that way. Yes! Yes, he did. And they brought him out of that lion's den. Folks, when we live this kind of life, God will watch over his children. God will take care of his children. And I just challenge you tonight that God will take care of you. Now, we need to be principled. We need to be a protector of the King's name. We need to be. We will be preferred and will be protected. And I'll hurry. Number five, he was prosperous. Look at verse 26. It says, I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. And verse number 28 says, so this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius. He prospered. Here's a man that 90-some years old, God blessed him in amazing ways. Now, what did he do? Did he lead an army into battle? No. Did he figure out some financial way to make Darius rich? No. He did what any 90-year-old person could do. He did the same thing, and how much more should we do it? He just was responsible, and he was respectable. He protected the king's name. He had an excellent spirit and an excellent stand. He prayed, and he praised God. You know, I challenge the folks at the nursing home, and I do the same thing here. Who of us cannot pray and praise God? If a tragedy happens and you end up paralyzed from the neck down the rest of your life, you still can pray and praise God. None of us cannot do these things. And then God protected him, and he was prosperous. His God was lifted up. One of the reasons why in our nation our God is so belittled and under attack and sin is seemingly running rampant, it's not because all of a sudden there's more wickedness than there was. It was always there, but the problem is we as Christians, we quit doing our job. And we quit living this kind of life. Our God wasn't lifted up. Even the most wicked of people, when they're around Christians or around churches, they check themselves. There used to be a time like that. But then I just close with this. We're not going to read all these, obviously, but the rest of the book of Daniel, chapter 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, is prophetic. It's prophetic. It's all about prophecy and what's going to happen. And I'll close with this thought. Here's a man, probably in his early 90s. He was principled, and that he was responsible and obviously respectable. Number two, he was a protector. Number three, he was preferred because he had an excellent spirit, an excellent stand, an excellent supplication. He prayed and praised God. He was protected by God, number four. Number five, he became very prosperous. Not just that Daniel was prosperous, but his God was lifted up. And the last thing, he was prophetic. Here's my thought, and we'll close. Daniel lived the rest of his life just looking forward to what God was going to do. I looked at those folks Tuesday night in nursing home. I said, there's nothing that you can't do here. You can do these things. So can we. And we ought to spend the rest of our lives looking forward to what God is going to do someday. Someday, folks, He's coming back to take us out of here. That's going to happen. It could be tonight. Amen. Stop and think about this. We could be standing on a golden street before this night's over. We could, before this night is over, have a brand new body. I mean, we could, before this night's over, but the Moses' sister could be running the street of gold. It's just awesome, isn't it? That could happen. And listen, it will happen. There's no doubt about these things. It's going to happen. And instead of living his life saying,
well, I'm in Babylon and I got through the lion's den, but what can I do now? I'm 90-some years old. I'm just going to sit here and die. Instead, he said, oh, let me tell you what God's about to do. This is what God's going to do next. This is what God's going to do next. This is what God's going to do next. Our people's going to go home. Our land's going to be restored someday. And he went even into the book of Revelation. What all's going to take place, and someday we're going to be with God forevermore. Now, if Daniel can do all these things, so can we. Don't leave tonight discouraged, tripping over your own bottom lip. Just look forward to what God's going to do. It's going to be wonderful. Amen. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you for this passage of Scripture. Thank you for what you showed me, Lord, and just encourage my